morning, everybody. Welcome again to today's Devon Insight telephone speaker event. For those people that don't know me, my name is Kathy Duffy and I am one of the community support workers for Devon Insight. Just a quick reminder to everyone, you'll have heard the message where, as you dialed in. You are muted on the call, so you can hear us, but we can't hear you. And that's just so that the line is kept nice and clear for the speaker, so it's easier for him to do his talk, or her, but also so that you are able to hear what they are saying clearly as well. However, towards the end, I'm sure we'll have a little bit of time where we can open up the call to everyone, and please feel free to ask any questions or make any comments to Simon or myself. We're really lucky today to have as our speaker Simon Parsons from the British Wireless for the Blind. We were just having a lovely little chat about the weather, as you do, very British. So at that point, everybody get comfortable, and I will hand over to you, Simon, now.
Thank you very much, Cathy. Good morning to everybody listening. As Cathy said, Simon Parsons, British Wireless for the Blind Fund. I'm the regional manager. I've been with the organisation for about 12 or 13 years, and fortunately for me, I am sighted. So I'm just going to spend a short time with you talking to you about who we are, what we do, and how we do it. And firstly, say thank you to Devon Insight for the opportunity to talk to the members and raise awareness of who we are and what we do. So, British Wireless for the Blind Fund is a small independent charity providing specially adapted audio equipment, particularly for people who are living with sight loss. As many of you listening, I'm sure, will attest to, losing one's sight is particularly very difficult, particularly having trouble perhaps watching the television, reading a printed book, or a newspaper. And for many people, this is where they are able to access information in an audio format, and we can provide that equipment to them. Like many charities supporting people who are visually impaired, we have a very interesting history. It was back during the Boer War that a now very, yeah, a Boer War, yes, a very well now decorated war hero by the name of Captain Sir James Beechcroft Towse, T-O-W-S-E. You don't name your children like that anymore, do you? Now, he was blinded by enemy gunfire and was shipped back to Blighty. And, of course, then there was no welfare state, so no real support for him. And while he was in hospital, not only coming to terms with the injuries that he had, but struggling to come to terms with his sight loss. But he got a friend of his adjutant, to rig up a radio, or a wireless, as it was known in those days, and he earthed it to the hospital radiator. Hey, no health and safety in those days, eh? But what it enabled, the captain to do, because he was a very active soldier and had lost his sight, it enabled him to keep in contact with the world, to find out how the war campaigns are going. And it enabled him not only to know what was going on in the world, but it helped him come to terms with his sight loss, particularly with no support in those days. And he was quite well connected, was Captain Towse. He knew a couple of fairly influential people. One of them was the then Prince of Wales. And the other chap that he knew was a chap by the name of, let me think now, Churchill, first name Winston. Now, some of you might have heard of him, but what Winston Churchill did on Christmas Day in 1929 was launch a fundraising appeal for the British Wireless for the Blind Fund, and it raised the sum of £4,000, which in today's money would be millions, I suspect. But what it then enabled the charity to do was launch itself, and it began to provide audio equipment, particularly for wounded servicemen who have come back, those with no sight. And Winston made the wonderful, well, now non-PC quote when he said, "We cannot help the blind to see, but we can help them to hear." and he made a sort of declaration that anybody then would be given a free wireless. And of course, in those days, people gathered around a wireless to listen to what was going on in the world. And it's from those very humble beginnings that the fund is now here, 90 plus years later, more than 90 plus years later. And we think that during that time, we have issued over 1 million radios to people who have been living with sight loss. In that time, 1 million radios. It is an astonishing number. Fortunately, it wasn't me that counted that, but it's unbelievable. So let's bring the fund into its present day. Now, I mentioned that we are a small independent charity, so we don't receive any government funding. We are a staff of 12, providing our services throughout the United Kingdom. Our trustees, as much as we'd like to provide everybody who's living with sight loss with a piece of equipment, we just don't have the money to do that. So the trustees have set a very small criteria in order for somebody to have a piece of our equipment on a free loan basis. So in order for an individual, so the criteria is as follows, is that an individual needs to be either registered blind or partially sighted or registrable. Now, we know that there are many people who don't wish to be formally registered. So if an individual is either formally registered or not registered, then that makes them eligible. They need to be, and the other key component here is in receipt of a means-tested benefit, so or an income-related benefit, so something like pension credit, housing benefit, income-related support and allowance, universal credit, that sort of thing. But again, we can help determine that at a later date. So if an individual meets that qualifying criteria, then we would have a discussion with them about which is the most appropriate and suitable equipment for them, of which I will talk about later. Part of the service that we offer is that we would then arrange, once the piece of equipment had been decided, which is the most suitable and appropriate, we would then arrange for that piece of equipment to be delivered either by our local agent or perhaps a trained volunteer to the individual's home. Now, I'm sure you've spotted the flaw in my plan already, because at the moment we're not in a position to do that. So what we've been doing during the lockdown is we've devised a very cunning plan, which we've called the Connect service. And instead of an individual coming to visit your home, we will arrange for a courier to deliver the equipment directly to your home. Depending on the piece of equipment that the individual has, it does come with an audio manual. And our telephone number will also be in the box as well. So if the person who's receiving the equipment needs any help, they can always ring the number. And one of our very good volunteers also does a follow-up call once the equipment's been issued to make sure it's being used. So we're trying to cover all the bases to sort of help people out. Once you have the equipment, you have it for as long as you like. The equipment is issued to the individual. If the equipment is damaged or broken for whatever reason, and that's not a challenge, by the way, we will arrange to replace it like for like free of charge. Okay, so if you meet the criteria, it is a free loan service. That's the important thing. Now, one of the nice things about being invited on to talk about these things is to raise awareness of our service and what we do. We are acutely aware that there will be people out there who meet the criteria but perhaps don't know about us. So if you do, you'll be able to get in touch either with me and I can give you information at the end, or I'm sure you can talk to the good folk at Devon Insight. And you may well know of other people. So if you do, if you do know of other people you think might be eligible, do let them know about our service. That's really important. We want to try and get to as many people as possible, because at the end of the day, if you meet the criteria, you can have a free piece of equipment. I think I've mentioned that before. It's free. I'm sure it is. Okay, so I'm just going to talk about some of the special adaptions and functions that our equipment has. We're very fortunate in that all our equipment is manufactured for us by Roberts Radio. It's a well-known name. And the equipment is designed to be very robust, and easy to use. Now, like a new piece of equipment, it does take time. I always say to people, Rome wasn't built in a day, and the equipment that we provide will be new, and it will take time to get used to it. But some of the special adaptations we have that make them easy to use and navigate around are things like colour contrasty controls. Many of you will understand the concept of the colour contrast. So the equipment is in a charcoal grey casing, and it has bright yellow buttons along with some tactile markings to provide the user with the confidence and the independence to stay connected. So the first piece of equipment, three pieces of equipment really that I'm going to talk briefly about, are the most popular set that we provide on a free loan basis is a model called the Concerto 2. Now the Concerto 2 is a digital radio. It plays tape cassettes. Some of you I'm sure can remember those. It plays CDs, and it also plays memory sticks or USB players. So it's a very versatile piece of equipment. It is quite sizable, so it's designed to sit in one place. It is both mains and battery operated. All of our equipment allows you to preset radio stations into the machine. For a lot of people, they have a number of radio stations that they like to listen to on a regular basis, so they can be preset into the machine. The Concerto is both mains and battery operated, and it has things like a bookmark facility. So if you're listening to War and Peace on a CD or on a memory stick, and you get to chapter 375 and think you really need to lie down in a darkened room now, there is a facility to bookmark it, push a button, and then when you want to go back and listen to it at a later date, you can just push the play button and it will carry on from where it's left off. Nothing more frustrating than perhaps being heavily into a book and then finding that it's gone all the way back to the beginning. It has a headphone socket, so if you plug in headphones, it will mute the main speakers, so an individual could be listening to the radio, the wireless, etc., while somebody else perhaps in the room is doing something else. The Concerto 2 also has an internal external microphone. I'm led to believe that all the wild karaoke parties that go on in Devon will allow you to sing your heart out to its content. So that's the Concerto 2, a very multifunctional piece of equipment that is designed to cover all the formats that are available. So I'm then going to talk now about another piece of equipment called the Opus. Now the Opus is again a digital radio. It plays memory sticks, and it also has a Bluetooth capability as well, for those of you who understand those things. It's again similarly mains and battery operated, but with the Opus you can put rechargeable batteries into this. Again, it has the colour contrasting controls and tactile markings. Again, the headphone socket, which mutes the main speaker, does have a microphone socket as well. And as I say, you can record onto the memory stick as well. Much more lightweight, much more portable. But again, it's often a discussion with the individual once they've met the criteria to have a discussion about which is the most suitable and appropriate piece of equipment. And really, I think for many people, it's down to what formats they listen to. So if an individual still perhaps listens to tapes or CDs, as many people do these days, then the most appropriate piece of equipment would be the Concerto 2. But if an individual doesn't really listen to tapes or CDs, but is more into perhaps memory sticks or USB function and Bluetooth connectivity, then it would be the Opus radio. But having had that discussion, it would then be down to the individual to decide which piece of equipment they would like. Finally, the other piece of equipment that we do offer on a free loan basis, but it's not specially adapted, so it doesn't have the colour contrasting controls and what have you, is a small, portable lightweight, compact DAB-FM radio called the Play Radio. And again, it's very lightweight and portable, so it can pop into a handbag or a briefcase or a pocket, and you can preset the radio stations into it. Again, headphone sockets, mains and battery operated, but rechargeable batteries with that. So that's the Play Radio as well. We do get a lot of call for equipment that is just very lightweight and portable, very easy to use. That's called the Play Radio. So those are the three main pieces of equipment that we provide on a free loan basis. So I'm hoping that I've covered the history of the fund, the qualifying criteria, the loan service, and that it is free if you meet the criteria, how we provide the service through a network of agents or volunteers, but at the moment we will arrange for that equipment to be couriered directly to your home. And again, each piece of equipment, just to cover it again, with the Opus, the audio manual is on the memory stick. If it's the Concerto 2 that an individual has, then that's provided on a CD. But again, telephone support is available. And once we are able to reclaim our lost world, then obviously we'll like to get our volunteers back in to help people as well. I think that's the most important thing. A couple of other things. For those who don't meet the criteria, then this is where I feel like the double glazing salesman, where I have to sort of jump across. We do sell a range of our equipment as well. And my colleague in the marketing department can arrange for the purchase of equipment. I should mention that if an individual is not eligible, but they are, for example, they're not in receipt of a means tested benefit, but if they are a registered blind or partially sighted, then they don't pay the VAT on the sets. So I'll just mention here that the Concerto 2 is available to purchase for the almighty sum of £230 plus VAT. The Opus is available to purchase at £210 exclusive of VAT. And the Play Radio is, because it's non-adapted, it's a very straightforward £70 as such. But the important thing that I'd like to stress here is that first and foremost, we are a charitable organisation, and we would very much like to give out as many sets as we can on a free loan basis. So as I mentioned earlier, if you yourselves meet that criteria, i.e. registered blind, partially sighted, sight impaired or severely sight impaired, or are registrable and are in receipt of a means tested benefit, then please do talk to Kathy or her colleagues at Devon Insight, or I'm sure towards the end, information, my contact details will become available. And that sort of pretty much draws things to a close from me, but just a couple of things. Firstly, if you have enjoyed the talk, please do tell other people about it. But if you haven't, can you keep it to yourself, please? Thank you. And in conclusion, because I'm immensely grateful that all of you who have sat in the last 20 minutes and listened to me talking about radios are not fast asleep, but I just wanted to leave you with this little ditty, and it's entitled, "It Comes to Us All." We need a bit of humour in these dark days. So there was a group of chaps, all school friends, aged 40, and they were all discussing where they would like to meet for a reunion lunch. Finally, they all agreed that they were going to meet at the Red Lion pub in London because all the waitresses were very attractive. 10 years later, when they were all 50, the friends once again discussed where they were going to meet for lunch. Finally, they all agreed once again that they were going to meet at the Red Lion pub in London because the food and the service was good and the beer selection was excellent. 10 years later, when they were all 60, the friends were once again discussing where they would meet for lunch. Finally, it was agreed that they would meet once more at the Red Lion pub in London, because there was plenty of parking, they could dine in peace and quiet, and it was good value for money. 10 years later, at 70, the friends were again discussing where they were going to meet for lunch. Finally, it was agreed that they would meet at the Red Lion pub in London, because the restaurant was wheelchair accessible and had a toilet for the disabled. 10 years later, at 80, the friends were once again discussing where they would meet for lunch. Finally, it was agreed that they would meet at the Red Lion pub in London, because they'd never been there before. Thank you. I can hear you giggling, Cathy. I can hear you giggling. So.
Very good.
Good. There we are. Bit of humour. There we are. And I'm sure that everyone can resonate with that.
Yeah.
Good.
That was wonderful. Thank you.
My pleasure. I don't know how long that is or how long I've taken or what,
I've
got a clock going on. So.
Yeah, no, I'm watching the time my end.
Right.
For me, can I just ask sorry to go back to the criteria, but just so I'm clear in my head,
yep.
And that everybody else is as well, when you were talking about if people were registered or were at registration level.
Yes.
Would that be by their determination or a professional's determination? I'm not quite sure what that means.
Yeah, it does. The individual. Okay, so for example, we know that there are people who best to describe it is, people could be registered, but they don't wish to be. We know that for some people. There's a perception of a sort of social stigma as such, but it's to the individual. We're giving the individual the piece of equipment, and you know we want to try and ensure that we can support people who perhaps not formally registered, but are living with a sight loss condition. How does that sound? Does that clear that up? Sorry, I was just trying to get the word. So. Yeah. Okay. So either you're formally registered as sight impaired or severely sight impaired, or you're not registered but living with a sight loss condition. How about that?
Okay.
I hope that
opens that up much wider.
Yes. Sorry, I was just trying to think of the phrase. Sorry.
No, that's kind of fine because in the past we have been encouraged to. Either people who whose sight loss is registered, and that's it's either level, or including people who aren't sure whether their sight loss is, certificated, or have never had that conversation with their consultant. So sometimes it's about us encouraging people, if their sight loss has deteriorated, to maybe have that conversation. At
their
next appointment.
Yes. I think our criteria in years gone by was very strict and very very precise. You had to be formally registered, sight impaired or severely sight impaired. That's not the case now because we know that people, there are people who are living with a sightless condition who. Don't want to be registered, don't want to go through that process for whatever reason, and that's fine. We don't want them to lose out. If they're in receipt of a means test of benefit, then we can supply them with a free piece of audio equipment.
Okay. So any people who are contacting us as an organisation, by far the majority have sight loss and are receiving treatment from an eye clinic. So at that point, they would then kind of meet that criteria?
Yeah, absolutely. Very much so. Yes. And the other key component is obviously being in receipt of the means test of benefit.
Yeah.
And then all you need to do, you or one of your colleagues can get in touch and I can organise. Again, we're very happy to have the discussion with the individual about which is the most appropriate piece of equipment, or if you're sales and do it, yeah, I'm here to help. That's the key, to really be able to help out and provide the support to ensure that we get to as many people as we can, and that if they're eligible, then they can have the equipment on a free loan basis.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. One of the questions that we did get, and thank you everybody who sent in questions, was about attendance allowance. And just to clarify that attendance allowance is not a means tested benefit, so that wouldn't be one of the criteria that one of the benefits that you're looking at people having to meet your criteria. That's a common question that we get asked as well.
That is correct, yes. I mean, I'm not a benefits guru at all, and we do understand that, you know, we'd love to give out sets to everybody, but we just don't have the money to do it, unfortunately. So the trustees have set the criteria. So it does have to be means-tested, and attendance allowance is a non-means-tested benefit. So if an individual only receives that, then unfortunately it wouldn't make them eligible to have a set on free loan.
Okay. Perfect, that's much to clear that up. And I'd just like to say from my perspective, pre-COVID, obviously, but with people that I have gone out to do assessments with, our site loss MOT, or just a visit, or as part of our talking support hubs, when I have supported people with referrals into British Wireless for the Blind for their radios, I cannot tell you how good quality those radios are. They are wonderful.
Thank you. Do you want cash or cheque for that, Kathy?
I'm
only joking, by the way. Well, I mean, again, if it helps, and I don't know if you have a resource room there, but I mean, you know, I can arrange for, you know, our equipment.
We have the Concerto and the...
Oh, right, okay. You do. Oh, fantastic. Okay.
So, and helped, supported people to reset their radios when they've managed to... one lady knocked her radio over. And that was the Opus. And believe me, if I can reset it, anyone can.
There we are, look at that.
I am not techie at all, but we managed to all her stations reset very, very quickly. And you are absolutely right about it is buying for what you need, not buying or having a piece of equipment for what you need. For this lady, it was about having the USB functionality and radio. She listened to the same three radio stations, and she didn't really want any more. I think there's five presets on the Opus.
It was
about the portability, being able to kind of move it from one room to the other. But they are really, really lovely pieces of equipment.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for those kind words. Appreciated.
No problem. And of course, in kind of the days when we are able to have our talk and support hub running again, which will be lovely, Simon will be one of the people that we'll be inviting to come along with the equipment to talk to people about the service, but also so that people can have a try of the different pieces of equipment and see exactly what they are. It's really important, actually.
We were talking earlier before we started. It's an unusual situation to talk to people, I hope I've explained the equipment as best I can. I'd be very pleased to come down when we've reclaimed our lost world, as they say, and do a very much more interactive hands-on demonstration for people to be able to try out and have a look.
Absolutely, and we're all looking forward to that day coming along soon.
Aren't
it'll be lovely. But it is important. It is important as well that people, one, still know about your service, that you reach as wide an audience as you can, but also that people know what different organisations are doing while we're in lockdown with this, COVID situation. People may have heard of your organisation and the equipment that you provide, but not be sure whether it's still operating at the moment.
So important. Yeah. We're very much issuing sets, without a shadow of a doubt, through our Connect service, so with our courier. We still want to make sure things can happen. Yeah, very much so.
Perfect. Okay, that's lovely. Thank you. Tracy and Louise in the background here. If you could just open up the... Oh, they are so quick today. Everybody's gone green. If there is anybody that would like to ask any questions of Simon or myself, please feel free.
Cathy,
it's
Anne.
Hello, Anne.
I've got a concerto too, and one of the functions I find very good is the volume will go really loud, so, you know, I can listen to it in another room. For anyone who's hard of hearing, I'd say it's a very good radio or a piece of equipment to have.
Thank you, Anne. That's a really good point, actually, because if people do have hearing loss as well as sight loss, then it not just is about how loud it will go, although that's important, but that it stays clear, the signal, because sometimes with some radios and such things, that the louder you turn it, it becomes less clear. So that's brilliant. Thank you.
It's very easy with the talking newspaper as well. If you get the section you're not interested in, just to flick it on to the next section. It's very tactile. The only thing I found as a problem is the fact that to get somebody else to tune in the radio if you can't see.
Sorry, say that again. The only problem with what?
To get the actual radio tuned in, you need a sighted person to do it. You can't see. You can't tune it in yourself.
Yes, I always say, Anne and Cathy, that's one of the difficulties with digital, that whatever piece of equipment, it does require somebody to manually tune them in. You are quite correct about that. But unfortunately, there's no getting away from that, given the way that the sets are designed. But thank you also for your kind words, and I'm pleased that you enjoy the equipment, and you make a very valid point about the loudness and those
I've recommended it to several people who've had hearing problems. Whether they've taken it up, I don't know, but I have said to lots of people.
Yeah, okay, because both the Opus and the Concerto have twin speakers, so they are stereo. So yes, they are quite loud for all the raucous parties that the Devonians carry out, I hear. So.
And they're right.
Okay, indeed.
Well, not at the moment, obviously.
No. Table for one in the corner, on your own. Yes, I know.
Okay, so with the Concerto 2 and the Opus. Opus. Opus is, I don't know what it is. Where did I get that word from? But they have the USB functionality, which is another word for memory stick.
Yes.
And lots of people like that functionality, so that they, with our bulletin, they come out in audible format, talking books, whether that is Calibra or R&IB Talking Libraries. And Talking Books Library, Talking Newspapers as well. So it's a really, really good piece of equipment, either one of those, to be able to use that functionality as well. Makes a real difference.
Yes, the USBs, or the memory stick players can hold a lot of information. I mentioned War and Peace earlier. You could imagine if you were listening to War and Peace on tape cassette, you'd be forever turning it over, taking out the tape and putting a new one in. Whereas a memory stick could hold all of War and Peace in one go, depending on the size of it. It's just another format. That's the thing, designed to be, easy to use. And again, you can pause, fast forward, rewind, like you could with a tape or a CD. They just tend to hold that much more data. Yeah.
And that can help in. I was supporting a lady this week actually. I'm trying to source one of the newer versions of the Bible in 20 plus font size. So talking to RNIB, Port Trust, another organisation that supplies all different types of Bibles, and we were having real difficulty. She was quite keen to still be able to read it as you read a tactile, like with a book.
Right.
Until we realised that at that size font, that would have been 37 different volumes.
Wow.
So when you're looking at audio USB.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would take up a whole wall, wouldn't it?
Indeed. Very much so. Yeah.
Okay.
Kathy, it's Tracy here. I have a question for Simon.
Hi.
If somebody didn't meet the benefits criteria and they were still interested in the products that you've been describing and they decided to make a purchase from your sales side of the organisation, I probably know the answer, but I just wanted clarification, really. Would your volunteers still support that person with that product if they purchased it as opposed to getting it on a free long-term loan?
The company answer would be no. We don't provide that sort of set-up and install service if somebody purchased it. But between you and me, and I'm sure nobody else is listening, I'm sure we could find some support. How does that sound?
That sounds lovely. Thank you.
Okay, we're a people organisation. Yeah, so we're a people organisation. I mean, for many people who either have the equipment on loan, I mean, we've certainly found this during the lockdown period where we've arranged to deliver equipment to people's homes, that they do have somebody cited who could help them with the setup if necessary. I think the last count was since the lockdown, we've sent out over 1,800 sets all over the country to people. But there's been very few who have said, "I've got nobody to help me set it up." But we'll find a way. I think that's the important thing. But for many people, a chat over the telephone or a telephone support usually does the trick.
Okay, thank you.
Oh,
thank you, Tracy. Has anybody else got any questions or?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I missed the beginning of this, and I'm wondering, can you repeat the name of the company that sells
Simon,
this radio?
We're the British Wireless for the Blind Fund.
I see. Yeah.
And
was it just the two radios you were talking about?
There's two that we provide on Freeland that are specially adapted with the colour contrasting controls and tactile markings.
Right.
For those who, I'll make a shameless plug, for those of you who are interested, you have a computer and access, you may like to have a look at our website. And our website is www.blind.org.uk. And there is a lot of information there, readily accessible in an easy format, which gives a lot of information about the various pieces of equipment.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Simon, before COVID, And I know as part of when one of your the members of your organisation would come out and talk at our hub, you used to have brochures just about the service with nice big pictures of the pieces of equipment and the criteria and the contact details.
I have some in front of me.
There
yes,
you are.
So I can arrange for our leaflets or our product range with all the pictures. They can be sent on. If you'd like me to send you some, I'm happy to do that. But yes, we still have plenty of those with all the contact information. Yes.
Okay. Has it changed in the last? Because I have quite a lot here. But I'm just wondering if they're current. Have they changed in the last couple of years?
Probably not. Hopefully, on the facing page of the product range, you'd have the Opus.
Yeah. So if it has the Opus on, it's the most current one.
It is, yes, yes.
Okay. I will double-check that. If it isn't current, then I will contact you and just ask to send out some... currently the leaflets, just so that if there's people that are interested in more information, then I can send them out to them.
Absolutely, yes, if you need some more, let me know, I'll be...
My house at the moment looks like a resource centre,
yeah.
And I know that I have some of the British Wireless for the Blind leaflets. I just wanted to make sure they're still current. But I'm sure the ones I have the Opus on the front.
On the front, okay, yeah. But if you need any more, let me know. I can happily send on some, yeah.
Okay. So if there's anybody that wanted more information, please contact either Simon directly. How would people contact you, Simon?
Okay, two ways. My email address is all lowercase, and it's simon@blind.org.uk. I'll repeat that, all lowercase, simon@blind.org.uk. I also have a mobile phone number, if that helps anybody, 07545 230017. There we are.
Thank you. And for people that maybe had difficulty in writing that down or didn't have a pen to hand, then on the information that you would have received for this speaker event is our number, which is 01392 876 666. I'll repeat that. Is 01392 876 666. But that number will be on any information that you have received from Devon Insights. And for those of you that have your community support workers' numbers, you can give them a call as well if you want any more information about how to get in contact with Simon regarding the equipment the British Wireless for the Blind provide. It would be lovely. Okay, does anyone else have any more questions for you? No? All a bit quiet? That's good. I would feel that's a good thing. Everybody's had their questions answered. On that point, Simon, I would like to thank you very much.
A pleasure. Pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to people and raise awareness of who we do. Keep safe, everyone. Keep safe.
Really, really interesting, really informative. Thank you. I would like to remind everybody that although we have been unable to meet face-to-face because of the COVID-19 situation, we are still here as an organisation and have been throughout the whole of the lockdown. If you require any support or advice or even just a chat, please call your local community support worker. Most of people here will have their numbers. If you don't, then call the main number that I gave you, the 01392 876 666, and they will put you through or give you the number of your local community support worker. We'd be happy to help you. Our next speaker for next week will be Glenn Tookie. He is the Chief Executive for Sight and Sound, and this meeting will be hosted by Graham Flynn, our Chief Exec at Devon Insight. So you get a little bit of respite from my voice. And after hearing it on the recordings accidentally yesterday, I was horrified at hearing my own voice. You never hear your own voice in the same way as everyone else does. It was a bit of a shock. I look forward to catching up with you next week, and thank you very much for joining us today. Stay safe and well. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.